This morning our scripture is taken from Romans 8, verses 12 through 25. And the theme this morning that hopefully we've been building on as I chose the hymns and the scriptures is the fact that we are actually on our journey. We're on our journey. And we're going to talk a little bit about that. But we are looking forward. We're looking forward with eager anticipation to the day that we will be with Jesus. No more death, no more sorrow, no more pain, no more sickness. Hallelujah. And a world that will have been put to rights. Our world is no longer perfect, but it will again be perfect. So let's just take a look at these words that we find that are in Romans 12 or Romans 8. Therefore, brothers, we have an obligation, but it is not to the sinful nature to live according to it. For if you live according to the sinful nature, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. Because of those who are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. For you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you received the Spirit of sonship. And by Him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. If indeed we share in His sufferings in order that we may also share in His glory. I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. The creation waits in eager expectation for the sons of God to be revealed. For the creation was subjected to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the glorious freedom of the children of God. We know that the whole creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time. Not only so, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for the adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we were saved, but hope that is already seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what he already has? But if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently. Dean, I'm going to ask if you would pop the scriptures back up and just start with the first, and you can just kind of move through with me as we talk about this. We start with the word therefore. Everyone, what does that mean? Oh, Kim. It means, yes, because of all this preceded. I am going to, this is what is going to happen, okay? So then, because, therefore, you have been set free from what? The law of sin and death. Now, I want us to recognize that this is what happened when creation fell, okay? Adam and Eve sinned. They let loose the authority of Satan. God had established that the Garden of Eden was perfect. No decay. It was just perfect. But when sin entered the world, it didn't just affect mankind. It affected creation as well. And this is what is being talked about here. Now, I want you to think for a moment, because sometimes I find it hard to believe that we could have anything even better than what we already have. On one of those beautiful, glorious 75 degree days with low humidity, okay, you love to be out in God's world and you look at all the different kinds of trees and you hear the birds singing and you might hear the brook falling or the waterfalls or on and it's glorious, isn't it? But that's not the perfected world. Why? Because it's all going to decay. It's not going to stay that way forever. But there is coming a day. So hallelujah, The law of death and sin will no longer be victorious. But right now, we live in that fallen world. But we do not have an obligation to serve the fallen part of us. Do not serve the flesh, its sinful nature, because that will lead to death. It means literally, as the word leads there, is about to or at the point of death. So he says we are to be putting to death. And I love another place where Paul says, I die daily. Guys, sometimes I have to die 10 times a day. Sometimes, I don't want to go any higher. But sometimes, you know, you've had those days, haven't you? When the struggle is there and you just, you catch yourself being frustrated. You catch yourself wanting to lash out. You catch yourself lashing out. You know, we've had those days. But God says, we don't have to live that way anymore. He says, if we put that to death. So when that rises up in us, when we recognize we're not feeling peace, we're not feeling joy, we're not feeling love, it should be a clue that we need to put something to death. So wake up and put it to death and say, Lord Jesus, you've got to crucify me again because I'm taking over here. So we don't put it to death. Because we are going to be led by this, we put it to death so that we can be led by the Spirit. It says then that we will become sons of God. Now, this is one of the things that I've always read over this and really never struck this, but there are two terms here that I think we tend to use for synonyms, but they're not synonyms in the Greek. Okay? The first one is sons, huios in the Greek, which means a mature adult who already has the privileges and responsibilities of an adult. When he's telling us here, he's saying, you all have become sons. You're not children in this setting. Okay? Then he goes ahead and he contrasts that to being a slave to the old way, to this sin and death. And he contrasts that. And he says, if we live that way, we will be fearful. I love the other scripture that says, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a spirit of power and of a well mind. Hallelujah. That's what we should be having. And when we sense that we are fearful, when we sense that we are angry and wanting to strike out, we need to say, Lord, I need your spirit, because it's that spirit that says he will give us love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness. So obviously Marjorie was walking in the Spirit this morning, I heard. Hallelujah. All right. So let's keep walking that way. All right. Now he says, then you are become adopted sons. Now I want us to recognize Kim is adopted. I had an older brother and sister that were adopted. When you become a part of that family and are adopted, you have every right and privilege that is of any other child, adopted or not. Isn't that exciting? Now, I know that here on earth sometimes we struggle with that. And I know that, like with my family, I had some aunts and uncles that really weren't able to come to that. They saw a difference between the three of us that were born from my mom and dad's flesh and the two that were adopted. God doesn't see that. He's got perfect love and perfect eyesight. Amen? So when we are adopted, we can say, I'm adopted! Hallelujah! All right. And then he says it becomes intimate. This term, Abba, or however you want to pronounce it, is the most intimate, close. Just think of it, crawling up, and Kim's called it, crawling up into my daddy's lap. That's the picture of the intimacy that God wants us to have. He wants us to be intimate with Him. And so we cry out, Abba, Daddy, Father. And we crawl up into His lap. And He hugs us. And He doesn't get tired of hugging us. Amen? Amen. All right. But He also talks about that we have a flesh side and a spirit side that we were born with, but he says then that we have to be, remember the ruler that came and said, how can I get to the kingdom of God? And he said, you must be born again. Okay? We have to be born again of the Spirit. And then the Spirit that God gave us to begin with that is a part of us, because our body is several different parts, but it also includes the Spirit, then joins with Christ's Spirit and commune together, it says here. Now, he says, then you have become children. Now, that word is techna in Greek, and it means born ones. It means now you have been born into the family. So, we are now those heirs and co-heirs with Christ. Think about it. What are we going to inherit? On that day that Christ has set everything right, we are going to be seeing a world that is even better than what we have here. We're going to be seeing people that are all also perfected. They have now learned to totally live in the Spirit. They are going to be living constantly in the Spirit. And we're going to have God's presence. And you can read through the descriptions of the throne room and heaven, and there's some beautiful pictures there. And everything that's mentioned is some of the most priceless treasures that people treasure on earth. Now, I don't care about gold, and I don't care about diamonds. You know, diamonds are a girl's best friend, not a man's. Anyway, but what I think is exciting and is that that is going to be the most treasured thing when we get into heaven. Whatever we have seen, thought was most treasured, that's the kind of description he's trying to get at. The things that are the highest of worth, that's what we'll experience in heaven. But then he says, but guys, we haven't gotten there yet. Sin is still in the world. It's not been perfected. And so he says, there's going to be sufferings. Each of us probably has different sufferings that we felt like we were suffering. But he says, they're going to be there. But he says that that is vastly outweighed by what we're going to receive. And that's what we need to keep our eyes on. When we start feeling down and out, and we're struggling with the things of the world, how do we keep paying our bills? How do we keep everything on top and floating the right way? We need to remember, this is temporary. This will pass. This will pass. This will pass. I'm looking forward. I'm looking forward to the land flowing with milk and honey. I'm looking forward to being in Jesus' presence. I'm looking forward to not feeling aches and pains. I'm looking forward to not having wrinkles on my face. Whatever, you know, it's just going to be perfect. So, he then talks about creation. It's waiting, it's hoping too. Waiting for that being made perfect again, because now it's in a cursed state. But it's coming. It's coming. But for a little time, we have to wait. To me, what I hope we can get from this scripture is the fact that, yes, things don't always go right. Things do break down. But we can look forward. We can look forward till the day that nothing ever will break down. Nothing ever will be wrong again. We have a hope. And some days we need to really zero in on that hope. Because some days it seems like our troubles are pretty tough. That's the day that we need to remind ourselves. We do have a hope. This will pass. I'm looking forward to that promised land. And that's why I wanted us to sing that song this morning. Because it's a promised land where joy and love and peace. I can hardly wait. And you know, part of the thing that I recognize is sometimes we bring things on ourselves, things that we say that we had no idea were causing someone else stress because of where they're at in their life. they may take something that we said for something that we had no idea they could even get there from here. It just is. But when people are insecure and when they're hurting, that's when this all comes up. And so we can look forward to the day that there won't be misunderstandings. You're going to understand exactly because we have the mind of God and we all are going to receive that. And there will be no misunderstandings, no hurts. And hallelujah, we will have learned how to forgive and to move on and to grow together in Christ. So I'm looking forward to that day because I haven't gotten to that perfection and I'm well aware of it. But I'm looking forward to that day. Amen? All right. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the joy of looking forward, for the hope that you've placed within us, that your Spirit continues to remind us of. So, Lord, we thank you that we can crucify daily ourselves and look forward to that day of perfection. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.